Thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Heading to talk to Jeff Poore in just a second. He's checking in from D.C. and talking about the storm that happened yesterday in D.C. in Congress. But we had our own storm in our neck of the woods. And now Gordon, a tropical depression moving through central Mississippi. More on that with Dr. Bill. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Sean.
And the track right now is, what, to the north and west?
Yeah, it's headed on up toward Arkansas, but right now it's just east of Jackson, Mississippi.
Has issued a flash flood warning for southwestern Monroe County in south-central Alabama, north-central Baldwin County in southwestern Alabama, northeastern Washington County in southwestern Alabama, central Clark County in southwestern Alabama, until 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time. At 8.05 a.m. Central Daylight Time, Doppler radar indicated showers and thunderstorms producing heavy rain across the warned area. Flash flooding is expected. Some locations that will experience flooding include Jackson, St. Stephens, Lagerville, Leroy, Uri, and Whatley. Repeating, a flash flood warning has been issued until 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time for the following counties in Alabama, Baldwin, Clark, Monroe, and Washington.
All right. As you heard, those flash flood warnings going on. And Dr. Bill, that's exactly what you've been talking about, the aftermath of Gordon in our area, the training effect of those rain showers.
Yeah, we had some torrential rains across Baldwin County and down over in the Florida Panhandle and extending north of Baldwin County. And thus, there are flood situations now in several counties. All those showers are streaming out of the Gulf of Mexico and on all the way up to central Mississippi, where the center of Gordon is now located. This pattern is going to continue at least through tomorrow, although the number of showers will decrease. We still every so often get these heavy showers coming off the Gulf that will affect our area. So today, look for that possibility of some heavy showers. And any rain that falls now is basically runoff, so therefore flash flooding is a good possibility over a large area of our region today.
Now, those thunderstorms, obviously, like you said, dumping a lot of rain, will they have the danger of being tornadic or severe?
There's still that possibility that a few of these thunderstorms could be strong, but most of that activity was located around the storm center, which is now way up in central Mississippi. So most of what we'll see today is just basically very heavy showers.
All right, and then I wake up this morning, and maybe it was happening yesterday, but I wasn't paying attention. I wake up and look at the satellite imagery out in the Atlantic, and what did you call it, a parade of tropical weather?
Yes, it's a parade of tropical systems now over the Atlantic. Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at a very quiet hurricane season, but I said, don't count it out.
Right.
And right now we have Hurricane Florence in the central Atlantic, and it was in the process of recurving to the north, but it may be blocked, and it may head to the west and could possibly affect the east coast in several days. And also a strong tropical wave now taking the lower track toward the Caribbean. Watch that one. It could be a named storm in the next couple of days. And then another tropical wave coming off the African coast, and there's some potential for development. So it's getting very, very busy over the Atlantic.
All right, Dr. Bill, we're glad you're watching it for us, and we'll check back with you soon.
Okay, Sean.
All right, 812 FM Talk 106.5 as we move on through the day after Gordon, and still have that rain as part of the mix. And as you heard, you have those flash flood warnings, places like North Baldwin County, northeast, northeast Washington County, south central Clark County, and that is going to just slowly today move out, so we're going to get that training effect from the rain through the counties here in southwest Alabama.
And a quick update for you, according to at Mobile Bay Ferry, the Dauphin Island Ferry remains closed at this hour, saying we will remain closed today. Our captains took the ferries to the state docks Monday, and we will be bringing them home today, weather permitting, and we will reopen tomorrow on the one ferry schedule.
All right. Yeah, they go to, as it is off season, they'll go to the one ferry schedule instead of two down there for between Dauphin Island and Fort Morgan. I'll tell you what, we'll go to him early, then we'll go to the news break. So y'all, we'll go for a couple minutes here, then go to news break and come back. Also more with Jeff Poore with Landnap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. And today, not driving through one of the 67 counties of Alabama, but he's in the district. Hey, Jeff.
Back in the belly of the beast, right?
Yeah, so you are in, as my kinfolk call it, Washington. What are you doing in Washington today?
So the Federation for American Immigration Reform is doing their annual radio row, feet to the fire thing up here. But they bring in a bunch of guests, a bunch of members of Congress and policy experts, and, you know, and I'm filling in with Dale Jackson, who hosts a show up at WVNN in Huntsville, kind of sharing duties with him. So I stepped away to do this show.
All right. Well, it's good to have you on. And you're talking about something that I was discussing yesterday. I put some discussion up on social media as well with the forthcoming book from Woodward that has, you know, laid out the tell-all from inside the Trump White House. And you kind of run through the different parts of it. I focused on exactly what you wrote here in an email to us, the quotes about Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And what I thought, if, you know, once again, if the quote is true, I thinking not only a sailing of the character of Jeff Sessions, but, you know, a pretty big slight against Alabama. All right, okay.
Well, yeah, and I weaponized against Donald Trump. I don't know necessarily that that's the, you know, true with that he thinks that way of all Southerners, but it's going to be used in a way to make it seem that way. I know that they got members of Congress, and they're asking, they asked Richard Shelby what he thought about it.
I tell you what, we keep losing that connection from D.C. We'll do this. We'll go to the break. We'll come back and pick it back up with Jeff Poore as he is checking in live from Washington, and maybe the forces of B are having us shut down or something to that effect. I'm not exactly sure, but we're working through that. All right. 814 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back.
Thank you, Kane. 820 now on FM Talk 106.5, the segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. The right hire can really make an impact on your business. You can post to job boards and hope that you'll find the right person for your job, but think about it. How often do you check job boards? Why trust a chance when you can post your job to a place where people go every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities? And 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there. I'm talking about LinkedIn. 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. You can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data that you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. It's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. And right now, if you hurry to LinkedIn.com/WAVH, you'll get $50 off your first job post right now. Once again, that's LinkedIn.com/WAVH to save $50. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
820 FM Talk 106.5, continuing our discussion with Jeff Poore. He is in Washington today, and we're talking a bit about this Woodward book that's supposed to come out next week, and the quotes drop from it. There's a whole bunch to talk about, but yeah, being the homer that I am, I focused on the portion that dealt with Jeff Sessions and Alabama, and I may lock horns with you a little bit on this. I know you're saying it's weaponized, and I agree that it is being weaponized, but if that quote is true, now that's one thing. If that quote is true, I think what the president was quoted as saying there not only goes after Jeff Sessions, but where he says, you know, he could be a couldn't even be a country lawyer down in Alabama or something like that. I think that's a slight to our state. I take it that way, and I don't think I'm making something up here.
Well, you could take it that way, but I'm not. I don't think most people are going to take it that way. I think it's perfectly fair and reasonable to take it that way, but to me, when you weaponize it, what I'm talking about just the X's and O's of it. I don't think people are going to accept that. I think they're going to look at it as them weaponizing it. It's just another thing they're hammering Trump on. And I think 9 times out of 10, if you ask poll people in Alabama, they're going to take Donald Trump's side over Jeff Sessions.
And it's strange to me, too, because I think about Jeff Sessions and, you know, my talk with them, having him as a senator on the show, in the studio, all the, you know, all the support he had during the Obama years, to how quickly people have washed their hands of him. I mean, I see more and more people, this has been going on for a year, but more and more people every day saying that it's time for the AG to go. Maybe I'm just too much of a homer to see that.
Well, I wrote this piece for Yellowhammer last week, Friday. It's on the site. I think the expectations were way too high for Senator Sessions or for Attorney General Sessions when he came in to the Trump administration. I think we saw what he did, but a lot of that was more show than style. Like, he didn't... there's no legislation with his name on it. He talked a good game, but what did he actually do? Did we maybe expect too much from Jeff Sessions as Attorney General? That may be the case, and you kind of wonder if we're seeing a little bit of that now, and that's why people are starting to sour on him.
True, but I mean, I look back at like the comments from the tweet from the president on Labor Day. The things that had annoyed me so greatly about how Holder was acting during the Obama tenure is exactly what I feel some people on the right are asking for out of Sessions, and that is not the job of the Attorney General.
Well, I think people expected him to come in and clean up the quote-unquote deep state. I think the agencies are politicized, and I think they expected a little more action. They definitely didn't expect him to recuse himself in the Russia stuff, but that is what it is. But we're not seeing a lot of wholesale changes within the Department of Justice, nor are we seeing them at the FBI. It's kind of the status quo, the same attitudes that we've had even during the Obama years. So I think people... I had an expectation that things, it would be a new day, and here we are almost 2 years in, and we're not really seeing that.
All right. Talking about the making politics out of stuff. Yesterday, as the opening of the confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh, I mean, it was stump speeches by a lot of Democrats more than questions of Kavanaugh.
Yeah, and the antics were to be expected, and I think that has something to do with why they dropped the Woodward book stuff when they did. It wasn't what they were hoping for. They were expecting some fireworks and some drama, high drama in the Senate Judiciary Committee room. It just wasn't there. It was what it was. It wasn't what we expected. It was Cory Booker. It was Kamala Harris. It was Senator Blumenthal, Richard Blumenthal, Connecticut. They didn't give people, I don't think they gave them what they wanted to the degree they wanted, and that's why we saw the post go with the book experts, what they did.
All right, let's talk about that too. Are we seeing the batting lineup for 2020? I mean, are we seeing the Democrats lining up? Or who is, out of Harris and Booker, is there one that's the populist kind of Bernie candidate? Is there somebody else that is, for lack of a better term, the Hillary candidate, the old line?
I mean, like, Booker's sort of the East Coast guy. Harris is sort of the West Coast gal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the dynamic. Who gets out? I guess it's who really could get out delegates in Iowa and New Hampshire. And do you go with the I don't know. They're both sort of, they're both kind of playing the same fiddle. And who could play it the best, I think. But I don't know necessarily that either one of them would be the front runner if we lined them up on stage today. I think somebody like a Joe Biden probably is up there. To me, they got a puncher shot at the Democratic 2020 nomination, but I don't know if you could perceive them as being one of the front runners.
All right, Jeff, I know you have to use your golf whisper voice since you're at this event, but question, since you've landed in D.C., our nation's capital, do you feel fear? You know, that's this new book that's out overnight and getting a lot of people talking, of course, across the network news, this new book from Bob Woodward, any thoughts? Any rumblings there?
I don't think it's fear. I think it's giddiness. D.C. is definitely not a Trump town by any means. It's when I was here for the inauguration, and you would have thought it was like like a funeral situation. DC is very excited about this book, and they do this. They did it with the Wolf book. They obviously, I don't think they did it quite as much with the Omarosa book, but whenever one of these big media events come out, it is front and center for the folks in DC, and I anticipate a lot of excitement for the book.
All right, so I'm going to bring it back home here before we wrap up and go to the gubernatorial stakes. I know people don't realize that, you know, we actually have a general election coming up, but we do. And Governor Ivey, last week we were talking about her, you know, getting the old gotcha question there about the debate going forward. And I think we had surmised, I wasn't bothered by, you know, I understand why she's not debating. I don't know that I like it. As a media person, of course, I want that to go on, but I understand it. But at the same time, shouldn't she be prepped better with a one-word answer for a question about a debate? I mean, don't you think she should have even a talking point about that?
Perhaps, but what I think is going on is people look at her kind of taking on the media. The media is not very popular in Alabama, and if she stonewalls on the debate, she could kind of use the, instead of using Walt Maddox, who no one's ever heard of, as a heel, as the villain, she used the media as the villain, and that, to me, that's much more effective, and that gives, that just bumps her poll numbers up. It makes her more formidable. I think she's going to win walking away anyway, but maybe the one-word answer, it can be improved upon, certainly, but for her to push back on it the way she has is a smart move.
All right. Jeff Board, live from Washington. If people want to reach out to you, kind of keep up with what you're doing up there in D.C., how do they do it?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
All right. Very good. Jeff Board checking in with us from Washington. We'll check in with you right here locally. When we come back, grab some calls and texts at 343-0106, 343-0106. I'll tell you what, we may have a chance to get one in here before the news break. Bob's in Saraland. Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good.
Great.
Yeah, I put it on Facebook several times how disappointed I am in my Jeff Sessions, and I love him. I mean, he's done great for Alabama. He might, you know, but what do you think? Are you disappointed?
And I lost motion because we just had a problem at the transmitter, but if you surmise, am I disappointed with Jeff Sessions in Washington? No, I'm not.
Yes.
No, I'm not, and I am that dissenting voice out there, because I want the Attorney General to do the job of Attorney General. I do not believe the Attorney General's job should be one that is a political job. The same way that I was disgusted by how Eric Holder acted during the Obama administration, I'm not going to turn around now, there's a Republican in the White House, and say all that stuff's okay. I want, you know, Jeff Sessions is a rule of law person. He is a person of decorum, and I think that is a good thing in that position. If anybody doubts his conservative bona fides here, he is the guy that laid out the Main Street populist conservative message that Donald Trump took onto the campaign trail and won with. Jeff Sessions is the progenitor of that. Jeff Sessions is the it's Cyrano de Bergerac. I mean, that's what he did. And so to turn around now and say, well, he's not a good AG because he's not doing these things that are political, or like the president saying he had some way in running the DOJ that led to having Republicans investigated and then indicted during a campaign season, it shouldn't matter. If they did wrong, he needs to prosecute them. That's what you do as an AG. And I appreciate your call, Bob. I think you're probably in the majority, but we'll pick it up when we get back. All right, thank you, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5. Hopefully they'll have that causeway back to go in by this afternoon, so you can head to the original Oyster House for $6.99 apps and the drafts to go with it. This is something that goes on every Monday through Thursday at the Causeway location of the original Oyster House. Get more details on their website, originaloysterhouse.com. But yes, $6.99 apps, selected apps. You can get those, and of course, the dollar off drafts. That's going on at the original Oyster House, and as soon as they get the Causeway back open, you'll be able to go in there and check it out. So maybe you want to go to the Gulf Shores location as well today, open for lunch and dinner. But I think they have the Causeway location closed until they get the Causeway back open. Would make sense.
Makes a lot of
sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You got to get
from the
there.
Road.
You check them out online, originaloysterhouse.com, or just search them out on Facebook. All right, 837. We'll go to the phones and the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. And also, I put some pictures up on my Twitter feed, some new pictures. I know I posted a lot of stuff yesterday, pictures and some video from there at Jemison's. And we got some pictures from our buddy Captain Charlie Gray at Gray Gulf Charters. Nearby his house, you'll see some roofing missing from a house and what it's looking like at high tide this morning with the remaining storm surge. It looks like it's just a little bit up over the seawall, nothing massive. So if people are worried about what their properties are that they haven't seen yet, it doesn't look too bad on a surge side. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106. And always going first when I see somebody disagrees with me. So it is Jim in Mobile. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Hey, good morning.
What I just wanted to ask you, what besides recruiting yourself from the, you know, Donald Trump issue, what is Jeff Sessions has, what has he really done since he's been up there that he can put his finger down? What has he really done for this country right now?
Okay, that's a fair question.
Other than, I mean, because I'm a fan of him now.
Okay,
I don't want to, you know, not knocking, but what has he really done?
Okay, so fair question. I would say this. First of all, the position in the judicial branch and the attorney general shouldn't be one of doing things. It shouldn't be proactive. It should be reactive because it is a rule of law position, not a legislative branch. Problem is we've gotten in this country where so much is decided by the judicial branch. Look at all the attention we're putting on the Supreme Court because the legislature doesn't do its job. Therefore, things go more often to be decided in the Supreme Court or in the judicial branch somewhere along the line versus being decided by our elected legislators. You would think that would be the place you want those decisions made, but they have passed that duty on, and it ends up in the judicial branch. I want to fight back against that. I want somebody to enforce the laws of the nation. I go back, and I've quoted this before, but I think this is very important. During the confirmation proceedings for Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, comes after him and says, reads a quote where he said he thought Roe versus Wade was the worst decision, I'm paraphrasing here, that had ever been made by the Supreme Court. And so Senator Feinstein says, well, with that being said, how can you enforce the laws of the land? And he said, in so many words, because that's the law and my job is to enforce it. That's what I want, Jim. I want somebody who says, I'm here to enforce laws. And what has he done? You could say in enforcement, I think interesting thing, I've said people that are want clarity on marijuana laws in this country, how one state can have legalized recreational marijuana, but it's against the law federally. He's pushing on that. And he's pushing to one of two things that's going to happen. Either we're going to get some clarity on how the federal law applies state to state, or you're going to have Congress finally get off their duff and make a decision one way or another whether to decriminalize marijuana at a federal level. So in pushing to enforce the law that's already on the books, same thing with immigration. He's pushing to enforce the law already on the books. If they don't like it.
When it comes to the marijuana, I mean, I just think that's a losing battle for him. I mean, I know
but it's his
law
job.
The books, but it's
his,
just like,
it doesn't matter. It's his job.
He's fighting a fire with a stick.
But it's his job to enforce the law. That's what I want. I want
that's
a guy
right,
who says.
That's right. I mean, it is the law on the books as of right now, but I just think there's too many people in the pockets. That's got their hands out now that's already seeing the money.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't. I agree with you, but that doesn't mean he doesn't do his job.
Right. I hear you. All right, man. We got to have a great morning. Love this. Yeah.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Jim.
You know, he's also pushed hard to roll back some of the policies that were put in by Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch before him, and he's been going after the opioid producers, the people that are producing, the pharmaceutical companies that are producing so many of the opioids that are killing Americans. They've pushed harder against opioids than pretty much any administration I can remember.
Yeah, but the point is I don't want... The problem has become this way, and people expect it. The Attorney General should not be a political active job. Mm-hmm. It should be one that is there to enforce the rules that are passed by the laws, by the legis from the Latin law, legislature. The legislator, this is how it works. Legislature passes the laws, and then you have them executed by the executive branch and enforced by the judicial branch. Mm-hmm. It's civics lessons are long since gone. I read, and I'm coming right back to the phones, but read the tweet from Monday that I paraphrased from the president. Like I said, this is why everybody is going to find a way to disagree in a given week with me, and that is just fine, because I'm trying to be a fair arbiter. I'm a fair arbiter in the fact that the economy is rocking. I think President Trump has done a lot of right things. But I will also point out where I think it's wrong, and in my opinion, this is one of them. As the president tweets on Monday, says, two long-running Obama-era investigations of two very well-popular Republican congressmen were brought to a well-publicized charge just ahead of the midterms by the Jeff Sessions Justice Department. Actually, it's the American Justice Department. Two easy wins, now in doubt because there's not enough time. Good job, Jeff. Now, this is saying that Jeff Sessions is working to undermine the Republicans running for office in this country. First of all, that is foolish. Second of all, it's not too far between the lines you read here that the president would want the attorney general to make decisions as the attorney general based on political outcomes, not on the rule of law. And I'm not having it.
No.
I'm not having it.
That's not what you want. Text from Phil here. He says, without Jeff Sessions, there is no Donald Trump. And I think he's doing a good job and knows the actual law better than anyone in Washington. Many times he is too careful not to do anything that would show favoritism, which opens the door for complainers, but he upholds the law.
Now that is fair. He does. He is so measured that it is seen as weakness. But to me, I see that as strength in doing that job. It's... Yes.
I was just going to ask. I mean, we've seen the tweets and we've heard that the president has said he'll keep, Attorney General Sessions around until at least the elections. Do you think that will change? Do you think he'll give more of a concrete answer as to yay or nay?
No, I don't think he's waiting for Jeff Sessions to quit, and I don't think that's happening. I think this is still a story in 2019.
Because it'll be impossible for him to get anyone else through confirmation.
Correct. Correct. Let's go to Mr. Pan, Peter on the causeway. Yes.
Hey, man, the west side is open, but
westbound.
Go to the Oyster House. You better have on some waders.
Is still water in the parking lot there?
Yeah. My guess is yesterday I was able to drive across and saw that, we had an abnormal high tide yesterday. So it was really up high on the boat launches.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess is you can only see maybe about 18 inches of those pylons. So it's probably about 3 feet up right now. With
okay.
Concerns.
Well, good information from all the cars. So and it was high tide about 7:30 this morning, so it should be getting better here over the next few hours.
Yeah, I came through there about 30 minutes. Maybe not quite 30 minutes. Hey, I got some input on Sessions.
Okay.
My thought on what's going on with that. And you know what, Sean, I think you're right in principle that we have to, that position should not be politically motivated. But unfortunately, the group across the aisle turned it into that. And this is like almost like the Palestinians and the Israelis saying we're going to have a ceasefire. It lasts about as long as the Palestinians takes to get more arms before they start lobbing again. And this is going to last as long as a Republican is in place. And the minute the left goes back in there, they're going to go right back to what they were doing. And somehow you have to play terrorism with that. I hate to use that word, but... you fight fire with fire. And my whole point is, has Hillary broke the law? And I think in most Americans' minds, hell yes, she has. I think a lot of the FBI has been breaking the law. And there's absolutely nothing being done with that. The other side of it is, I don't know whose position it is, but no president has ever had to go through what's going on with Mueller. It's time to pull the plug. It's time to give him a deadline and say, you've got 2 weeks, get done. Get the crap out of here.
You know, in so many words, I'll say this, the Attorney General has said that too, that this needs to be something that gets wrapped up. I agree with you. I understand pragmatically, I probably agree with you, but the problem is, if we make those pragmatic decisions, and I'm going to die on a hill here for something, but I still believe in the republic and the rule of law. And if I would say we would triple down when a next person that tries to use the AG's office as a political tool, we triple down at fighting that. But that doesn't mean that it's okay for us to follow suit. Pragmatically, I understand. In the idea of winning this battle, I understand. But I think we chip away at the foundation of the republic when we do that.
Let me throw one other scenario in there that could really get a lot of... It would, to me, I personally believe you have to be smarter than your opposition. You have to outflank them no matter what it is, if it's in business, if it's in warfare, if it's in politics. Have you ever thought about what would happen if they went after Hillary and found her guilty, and then Trump was able to pardon her? How far would that go?
So idealistic Sullivan would say, what a great olive branch. That would bring healing and all that. But also the cynical part of me that's a way bigger critter on my shoulder would say, yeah, that'd last, like you said, for just about a couple of weeks and be back to normal.
Right. Enjoying it.
Yeah, thanks. I'll see you guys later. Thanks, Peter. Yep, bringing me down now, but I appreciate the call. We'll come right back to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Conversation, we could stay on this Sessions issue as well, but they have started back with the, what is it, the Kabuki Theater, the performance art of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings going on in Washington as well. Right, 853 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Sean Kelly Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane with traffic. And Dr. Bill, he was just getting rid of Gordon and he's saying a parade of tropical weather coming across the Atlantic. It is September. It is heading towards the peak of hurricane season. I guess this is what happens. So we'll keep our eyes on that and get updates from Dr. Bill coming up today during the midday show. Also, we'll get you up to date on what's going on in Washington with the Kabuki Theater day two of the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh. All right, let's head down to South Baldwin and check in with Blake. Everything good in your neck of the woods? Y'all get any damage from the storm?
Yeah, just a little water here and there. No damage that I can see, but I haven't ventured out too much.
All right.
But where I am, I'm just fine.
Well, good deal. Yeah. So you want to talk Sessions recusal?
Yeah. I do have a beef with Mr. Sessions, and I understand where Trump is coming from. Of course, Trump appointed Mr. Sessions as a favor of what Mr. Sessions, as a very critical time, gave him support and boosted him in Alabama. There's no question about it. That's why he was offered the job.
He's the first senator to step forward, and also he's the architect, the messaging that Donald Trump took on the campaign trail, that what I call Main Street populist message, is what Senator Sessions had been standing in the rotunda, every TV camera on him for the previous year and a half, 2 years, about that message.
I mean, I won't go that far, but let's Trump did return him the favor, ask him what he want, and he wanted attorney general position. The problem that I have, that he really did a big disservice to Trump when and this is coming from Trey Gowdy. You know what Trey Gowdy,
I'm familiar with Trey Gowdy.
I heard him talk about it, that the Jeff Sessions did such a big disservice to Trump by not telling him when he took the job that he will recuse himself in that investigation that everybody knew was coming about this Russian collusion charge on Trump. And that opened the floodgate that all of a sudden they give it to Rosenstein, which is a snake, and I don't even know how Rosenstein got in there. And then he gives it to the Mueller, his buddy, and then he brings in all these partisans, Andrew Weissman and people like that.
I'll stop you for a second, Blake, because I got a couple questions. Number one, you know, Trey Gowdy was a supporter before he was against Sessions' recusal. He was a defender of that recusal. If you go back far enough in the stories before he switched, and I don't know what happened. Did he find out new information, or did he get? Just let me finish, Blake. Let me finish, Blake. And then the other question, I think the seminal question here would be this: do you think Jeff Sessions recused himself from that investigation for a political reason, or because he thought it was what he was supposed to do in that situation in the job? Do you think he made a decision to recuse himself to hurt Trump? Is that what you think?
No.
Okay.
No. He just, I tell you exactly what I think has happened.
Why did he do it then?
Jeff Sessions, I think, I've heard about it, and I'm not somebody who was around here a long time, that he was denied judgeship.
Correct.
By the Senate a long time ago.
It was borked. Yes.
Racism.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. No. They charged him with racism.
And
he's
now bending backwards, like you were saying, going by the law and by rule of law, trying to show that he's impartial. In that impartiality, he's hurting everybody else. Because this is a political appointment.
But it's not the job of attorney general is one of the rule of law. If you had to figure out who your boss is, hold on, Blake.
I'm not a lawyer, but let me just throw at you. You know, in this Mueller investigation, Manafort, it's been said that they broke into his house 5 o'clock in the morning when his kids and wife were sleeping.
Yes.
That's the tactic Nazis used to use. Did Trump, did Sessions say a word about it, that this is not acceptable?
They had a search warrant.
Did he ever say a word? No. Nazis used that technique.
You know what? And so do all kind of different police groups from all different places there. I mean, just throwing out...
Do you think that Jeff Sessions should have said just one word and Trump brings...
I don't know that he should have. I don't know that he should have in that position. Is that... Blake, hold on.
We disagree.
Okay, we do disagree.
And I also believe that, you know, the Trump that is charging, that these two congressmen that had been charged, Sessions should have said, look, you want to charge them at least 3 months before the election. It doesn't matter.
Wait. He should. Okay, then this is good, Blake, because you and I can actually talk because we have very clear-cut disagreements here, and it's not great. That is making a decision from the Attorney General's office based on political outcome. That is not acceptable
to
me.
No,
you are saying that. That's exactly what you're saying.
I'm not saying that charges should not be brought.
But you should time it out.
You can't bring it up.
The investigations have been going on. Blake. Blake, the investigations have been going on for years. And that it should be timed. Do you, Blake, we're out of time, but I mean, I would love to know, do you think that Jeff Sessions should have made a decision, not with a natural investigation? He should have sped it up or slowed it down, dependent on political outcome. And maybe you say yes, but in the way I see this republic, the answer is no. I'm one of those old fuddy-duddies. Rule of law, constitution, you know those things?